All right, it's a good Thursday, everybody. Hour number two, we kick it off with Jacob Padilla from Hail Varsity, the magazine, hailvarsity.com. Good Thursday, Jacob. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, dude.
All right, so we gotta have positivity here. We're gonna get some good news here. We're gonna have a good conversation because people want to know, when will the Hail Varsity football yearbook be either in their mailbox, on their coffee table, or at their favorite retailer?
Yeah, we're deep in the writing for that right now. We're working towards it. It's going to be getting to people in June. We've got, like I said, we're kind of getting close here to putting together some proofs to start working through. So it's kind of exciting time of year. We're getting close here to having this thing finished off and sent off to newsstands.
All right, can we have some like hints on what the cover will be?
We're actually still in the midst of kind of finalizing that right now. Next week, I think, maybe we'll see a little bit about that. So we're going to be running all kinds of promotions, getting people ready for it. So just stay tuned to Hail Varsity's social media feeds, and you'll get a good idea of that coming up soon.
All right, Monday in the college athletic world, and especially in Lincoln, will be the start of, we don't know where it leads us, but at least it's a start. When you heard last week, and at the time it was just basketball and football, but then it was come one, come all. What do you think June 1 means for the University of Nebraska Athletic Department and then in college athletics in general?
Yeah, it's just kind of the next step towards getting back to, classes and everything and athletics as all. Just kind of they're starting to move towards getting students back on campus, getting student athletes back on campus, giving them the opportunity to slowly start working back towards the physical shape they need to be in for their sport. So it's a good step to kind of get them back there, have the coaches kind of be able to know, all right, everybody, we've got everybody here, everybody's in good hands here. Obviously, they've gone through every precaution they could possibly do to make this as safe as possible. So it's everything is obviously going to be in stages here, and just got to hope that with each new stage that it kind of goes off without a hitch and we're able to continue moving forward. But got to put one foot in front of the other, and this is a big first step.
Okay, so let's do this a little bit, because you know this, I'm pretty sure, because on my Hail Varsity calendar that I have up in my office, on May 28th, it says 100 days to football. We are 100 days away from football in this state. Saturday will be 14 weeks till the season is slated to kick off on September 5th at home against Purdue. So if this is stage one, what do you think the next stage is? And when I say 100 days till football, you say what?
wow.
We're going with the optimistic angle here.
Yeah, that's kind of the just kind of what my head turns to. You hope that number holds true, that we're able to continue to move forward. That's where I'm at right now. Is I haven't really paid too much close attention to any of kind of the various ideas. Like I haven't read a whole lot about the various MLB and NBA plans for restarting, and some obviously there are a lot of presidents and coaches and ADs talking and tossing out various opinions at them. I'm just kind of waiting until we get something finalized. Until I really kind of invest myself in it, and then
that's fair.
Kind of see how that happens. So then, all right, so you've got a plan now, a plan that you're going to try to do this. Now let's see how it works, because there's so many different things, like balls in the air right now with everybody trying to get restarted, and all it takes is one major setback to kind of shut everything down. So I've kind of tried not to think too far ahead. I'm just kind of waiting, just waiting for good news in terms of numbers, some kind of medical breakthrough, something that just makes things easier But yeah, 100 days, it's kind of, on one hand, it's still quite a ways off, right?
Like, yeah.
You still got to get through June and July and into August before football's even here. But the other, on the other hand, like, it's quickly approaching, just based on, I mean, how long have we been shut down already? It's already been a couple months now, so we're already kind of close to halfway through kind of this period between when everything started and when they're hoping to be able to get things up and running again. So there's still a whole lot to do, a whole lot that we still have to learn, and hopefully that they're able to kind of make good decisions and move forward without a setback.
Yeah, because I think we've lost count here on this show, but I believe it was 11 weeks ago that you and I were sitting next to each other at Pinnacle Bank Arena watching the Boys State basketball tournament.
Oh, man, yeah.
So we've made it through that. We've made it through that. So maybe we can make it through another 100 days.
Yeah, true. We're kind of getting to the point now where days are starting to run together. I've kind of run through a lot of the content that I had planned, some of the stuff we had to push up. So now we're kind of getting to the point where, well, like you said, we still, 100 days off from the football season, but we've also run through a lot of the other stuff. So now's the time to start getting creative.
I want to go back to something you said, because we all have differing opinions on moving forward, and even if some can't, I'm in the camp of you got to keep moving forward. Where are you at? Like, everybody has to come together, like move forward, where in the Big Ten it's 14 for 14, or can you go 12 and leave the other two behind and let them catch up?
Yeah, that's tough right now. Like, obviously, I mean, the schedules are set years in advance outside of the conference schedule, I guess, so it kind of gets jumbled. But there's just so many moving parts that what does the season look like? So say you only got 12. Do you play two other teams and fill out the same schedule, or do you just cut the season down? Obviously, different teams are scheduled to play. Some of those teams, maybe some aren't. There's so many logistical issues that would arise from certain teams not being able to participate. I think at this point, everybody's just moving forward and hoping that they're not going to have to go through with some of these contingency plans. I hope that all 14 schools in the Big Ten are able to go forward, and I hope that it's because it's all right and not just because they're that desperate. That's kind of we're kind of in that range between, yes, we absolutely, things need to move forward. You can't stay like this forever. And if athletic departments aren't able to cash that TV money, aren't able to start getting back towards running, then there are going to be a lot of places that are in trouble. But at the same time, you don't want to go forward too quickly and then cause an even worse setback. So you're just kind of hoping that everybody is able to, like you said, be on the same page. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right,
take all the data points and make the best decision moving forward.
Let's shift now to, and this, for people that know you, they know that you coach basketball and you coach AAU basketball and you're involved with OSA, and that's very much something that is part of your life. And you enjoy that, and you do a good job, and the kids love you. And this time of the year is also in your wheelhouse because it's nonstop basketball with AAU. And that right now is on hold. Playing basketball in the summertime is on hold in this state. And then the NCAA announces yesterday that they're going to extend, Jacob, the current recruiting dead period through all of July. Football, it affects camps. Basketball, it has a great impact. Why do you think they announced it now through the, you know, we kind of thought, okay, they'll keep it through June, but why do you think now they made the decision to extend it another month all the way through July?
It's a good question. I think at this point, I think it's probably the right decision anyway. I have pretty much already written off the summer as scheduled. I know, like, just talking with Bob, and I know people are hoping that we can maybe squeeze something into August, September, like they're willing to kind of move things back and be flexible to be able to have these kids get something in. We'll have to wait to see the NCAA portion of that, what that looks like. But I just kind of with the current climate, the problem is, so with those, with the recruiting live periods for basketball, is it's the big AU tournament. It's Peach Dam. Mm-hmm. It's all that kind of stuff. So you've got kids from all over the place traveling to these big sites. You've got coaches from all over the country traveling there. There's so many people at these things. I don't even think you can have an AU tournament, a live period, as they normally go. So what would that look like? Like, it's not like a professional sport, even a college sport. Like, AU kids, they need a ride to the gym. Their parents travel with them. Like, so you're still going to have those people if you're able to have those kind of things. So at this point, I think they realize we're just not going to be able to have AU travel tournaments at this point. Hopefully at some point we get to a stage where they're able to have, whether it's just tournaments in Nebraska, and maybe we can stream, record something. You just have area, maybe Nebraska, Iowa, just kind of bordering states, and put together some tournaments with some teams, something to where the kids still get a chance to go out and play. They get a chance to put something on tape or get in front of coaches' eyeballs somehow. But I think they just realized that, yeah, it's just not, they're just not going to be able to have recruiting as normal. And then you've got all the other sports, and you still don't want kids traveling. Like, that's the other part of it too, is with football and other sports, the visits and all that kind of stuff. You just don't want people traveling all over the place at this stage. And I think just extending it through now just kind of lets everybody know, like, all right, so don't plan on this. If something changes, they're going to get together in June and kind of reevaluate then. Maybe if something changes, they can adjust the calendar some way or something. But I had pretty much already written off the summer, at least through July. And I think that just kind of, that wasn't a surprise to me. It just kind of confirmed what I had expected to happen.
So would it surprise you if possibly, and all the points you made, I'm nodding my head in agreement, Jacob, is the July 31st is a Friday. August 1st and 2nd is a Saturday and Sunday. We don't know when school is going to start, especially high schools, elementary schools. We know that colleges are starting to move up maybe to the 10th or the 17th of August. But could you see something, and maybe it's not an open period for coaches, but now let's talk about the development of basketball players, that you could see a couple of weeks of basketball starting then, and maybe it coincides with the NCAA saying, all right, the month of August, you can go and recruit, that maybe at the end of July, when we go into that 1st of August, which is a Saturday, something might happen.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think that's kind of, I think what the youth basketball people in this state, and I'm sure others, they're basically kind of coming up with these plans. Okay, so if we're able to start here, what will this look like? All right, if we're able to start here, they're going to be ready for whenever they get the go-ahead to have something for the kids and give them those opportunities. And whether it's a tournament, whether it's some kind of camp combine thing where there isn't really traveling, you just give kids a chance to play, get out there and compete. Like, they're coming up with all different ideas for ways to give the kids something back, because obviously they've missed out on a whole lot of basketball, a lot of opportunities. And it's really disappointing for me, knowing what some of these teams and some of these kids had, like the OSA and Factory in particular, like Hunter Salas's team versus Chucky Hepford's team, and both teams were going to be stacked. And I was so much looking forward to seeing those teams compete. And I think they could have attracted a lot of attention in Nebraska and kind of represented well. So I think that's kind of what the basketball people in this area are planning on, is, all right, no matter what, or whenever we get the go-ahead, we're going to we're going to come up with something that they're able mm-hmm. to do. And I know August and September, even extended into September, if need be, if possible, is something that they're considering.
So what do you say, and in this opportunity to put on your coaching hat, what do you say to those parents that have sons and daughters that this was going to be a crucial summer for them to get in front of coaches? And it's not always Division I coaches, but to get in front of coaches to, you know, to get looked at, evaluated, possibly offered a scholarship, how do they adjust in these times? Because it's, you know, not everybody's getting to be on a Zoom call with the Creighton staff, the Omaha staff, and the Nebraska staff.
Yeah, so the one good thing is kind of you've got so many area NAIAs, a handful of D2s that do scout the area, even during the high school season, more so than D1. Obviously, with D1 players, or D1 coaches, AAU is huge because you do bring all those kids together. It's much more efficient in terms of recruiting, be able to see all those kids at once. High school season, obviously, the D1 talent is spread out more. So you're not going to – coaches at that point aren't really scouting kids. They're mm-hmm. recruiting kids. They've already identified kids that they want to see, kids that they want to show their face to. NAIA and D2, that's a little different. They go to a lot of games during the high school season. They continue to kind of recruit and scout and all that stuff. So what I'd say is just regardless of whatever level you do, try to stay working out as best you can, whether it's a basketball out in your drive or basketball hoop out in your driveway, or you're able to get in for some of these individual training sessions at places like OSA and some of the other training areas. So, like, keep that going, and then just keep – I'd say huddle with you. Once you get into the season, make sure you've got good huddle highlights. Make sure you want to reach – if there's some certain coaches that you kind of reached out to, you can send emails with film and – explaining who you are. There's recruit questionnaires. So there are a lot of, like, the D1 opportunities that are kind of the biggest thing that mm-hmm. some kids are missing out. But we're even seeing a guy like St. Thomas, some other guys that they are coaches can't be out in the gym, so they're just kind of watching film. They're looking over some numbers and seeing, all right, this kid's kind of interesting. And we are seeing some offers go out still. So it's kids are just going to have to keep working. And I hope at some point that the NCAA and various other organizations were able to put something together to make up for at least some of what they lost.
So what do you think, because we're already, I mean, I'm banking on there's going to be a large amount of decommitments in terms of football. But what are you thinking about basketball? Because basketball's early signing period is in November. In the state of Nebraska, for example, the first weekend of high school basketball is usually that first Thursday, Friday, Saturday in December. What do you think the early signing period for hoops will be like?
Yeah, well, that's kind of that's a really good question, and something I think the entire recruiting calendar, they might have to just shift the entire thing just based on how much time they've lost. Like, we're still hoping, we're still not even certain that these seasons are going to kick off on time. So that's one of the major things that the NCAA is going to have to keep looking at is, all right, what does this recruiting calendar look like? Do they push back signing days? Do they create more like live periods leading up to that? I have no idea what this is going to look like moving forward. And at this point, you just got to hope that we're able to get back on track somewhat and that this is just a one-year thing, because like the more we're talking about pushing stuff back and now we're pushing into the next year and the next cycle and all that type of stuff. So I honestly have no idea. We've seen some, there are a handful of kids committing already for 2021, but we still got so long to go before we get to that point that I don't even know if kids are going to be signing at that point. I would expect this year in particular to see a lot. I guess on the other hand, though, do kids want to hop in with all the uncertainty and try to mm-hmm. Kind of make sure that they've got their spot taken care of? So there are a lot of things to consider going into this, and we still have so much we've got to learn.
Well, I think that's definitely, you make a great point about get in and get your spot. I think that's an important thing in football. I think there's a lot of commitments during this dead period where it's virtual recruiting. The kids are like, man, I don't want to get shut out. I got to get a spot. But boy, when it opens back up, I don't know that I want that particular spot. I think football will have a major issue with that.
Well, and then with basketball transfers too. And transfers eat up scholarships, and schools only have so many spots available. And if they don't have kids kind of fill in their recruiting class early, maybe they stop recruiting them and start looking more at transfers for the late signing period and that kind of stuff. So there's a whole lot going on. It's a big juggling act that these coaches have to do, and now a lot of it's going to extend to the players trying to figure this whole thing out.
Hey, let's go a different angle on transfers. Let's stick with basketball, because this is something that never stops. Already in the last couple of days, concerning Big East teams, Matt McClung ends up at Texas Tech, already bolts from Georgetown. You got L.J. Figueroa is leaving St. John's. Every day it seems like there is a well-known transfer that is leaving, and it's an historic rate now looking at this season of transfers. Do you ever hear from parents on how they feel about their kids transferring? We start to get more of the perspective of, I think head coaches, Jacob, are not afraid to go there to talk about players that leave their program, i.e. Matt Painter. But what about parents and how they feel about their kids transferring? You ever get any feedback that way?
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't talked to a whole lot of parents, actually. In terms of kids just choosing to leave, I have heard from a parent or two of players that were asked to or told that transferring would be a good idea. So that's kind of an entirely different thing. But yeah, we don't hear too many from parents in particular. There's some that are all over the place on social media, but in general, you just kind of hear about kids going in the transfer portal if they do interviews, and then that's basically it. So I haven't really talked to a whole lot. Creighton, they've obviously had some transfers, but there hasn't been a lot of key, major figures that have chosen to leave. Davion Mintz, him not really even being part of the team this past year, I think kind of puts him in that category as well, especially since it was kind of expected. So I haven't really talked to parents. There's some that do their recruiting interviews for their kids. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is always interesting, hearing from a parent instead of the player, and that adds another kind of level to trying to figure things out. But that's a perspective that we don't often hear. But I think it's probably good that players and parents don't always kind of go off and talk. And I think it's not a good look for coaches either when it looks a little like just a little bit of salt there at times, depending on the way some of them talk. So I think it's best in general, once transfers happen, to just kind of let both sides go their separate ways and not talk about it too much unless mm-hmm. there's something serious going on.
Hey, we'll get chatter on this. The NBA, Adam Silver's on a conference call with the Board of Governors today. There's going to be a conference call with the Players Union tomorrow. Maybe a plan will be officially announced, even though everything is trending towards Orlando. I don't know why they also don't use Las Vegas, splitting up the conferences. But you've also heard the different formats that they want to come back, whether it be the intriguing World Cup format. Hey, let teams pick their opponent, or just play normal, or come back 1-16. Is there a format that you would choose if the NBA comes back that you think would make people go, that's kind of interesting, and actually would work in this odd situation?
Yeah, if we're just looking at interesting, I think the World Cup, kind of the group stage, I think that would probably be just kind of the most attention-grabbing and interesting, just because it's so different than, on the one hand, it's so different than what the NBA is used to, but on the other hand, it's something that is well-known in basketball and has shown to work fairly well. I think that would definitely be interesting. There's obviously no good way to do this and to satisfy everyone. We've heard Damian Lillard talk, well, if If I've got no shot of making the playoffs, then I'm not playing. So bringing everybody back, this doesn't seem like it would be feasible. Obviously, Steve Kerr has talked about, well, if we come back, our guys aren't really going to be playing. We've got nothing to play for. So, but at the same time, just kind of shutting it down. I know there are a handful of teams that believe they had a chance to kind of make the playoffs there that wouldn't be happy there. So I think kind of putting together kind of the 20-team kind of hybrid between, all right, we're taking all the playoff teams, but we're also giving the fringe teams a chance to earn to be a part of this as well. I think that's probably the best way to do it at this point. I guess some other teams would argue, well, hey, Memphis earned the 8 seed through 60 whatever games. So why are we assuming that some of these other teams were ever going to pass us? So that no matter how you do it, it's just not going to. The problem is everybody entered the season under one set of guidelines and rules and understanding what they needed to do to make the postseason. And with schedules being so different as they are, with so many different teams and so many games, some are front-loaded, some are back-loaded. The first 65 games and the last 17 games or whatever are not the same for every team. So no matter how you do it, it's not going to be fair. You just got to try to come up with the best way possible to keep it moving forward and to keep the league going.
All right. How's the game, by the way? Have you been out to play?
Well, it's been so much wind and rain lately that I haven't been able to get out there. I've knocked in a stay here down on a couple hoops, but yeah, it's been crazy. And looking out today, yeah, it's going to be real nice out, but it's also like 20-mile-hour winds right now. All the trees are shaking the area. So it's kind of hard to shoot a free throw when the ball travels a foot left of where you aimed it.
Oh man, I love your passion for basketball. We're gonna be okay, Jacob. We're gonna get there eventually.
Yeah. Well, made it this long, so I'm just gonna keep trucking along.
Hey, it's only 100 days. 100 days till football. Hey, Jacob, have a safe rest of the week. We always appreciate your time and fine work at Hail Varsity.
All right, thanks a lot, Gary.
That's Jacob Padilla, who that basketball is his life. I mean, ball is life. That's fun.
He's one of my favorites.
Yes. A couple of things. And Jacob pegged him absolutely on the recruiting. Let's talk on the basketball side. Because I think, you know, mention what, Monday? Or was it last week? I think, we're Thursday. This was a shortened week.
Jeez.
I apologize, but I don't think I have to because we're all in the same boat here. But when the governor, looking at sports, what sports were allowed, basketball was one of those that was not. And the basketball community, especially in this town, they are very, very opinionated. They are very, very aggressive. And they have talked to their local officials that happen to spend half the year in Lincoln working in the unicameral and trying to get basketball so it's allowed. From OSA to the factory to TNE to everybody else that is involved in youth basketball, the grassroots basketball program. And I know that they are hopeful that they can expand their groups. They have, you know, precautions in play to take care of the players so that they can follow all the guidelines. But when I say 31st of July, August 1st, August 2nd, I think those groups are all thinking about some big tournaments that could possibly happen, that they would like to happen. I think why the NCAA did this now, and I mean, I'm surprised. It's the third time in 2 months they pushed it back. One, because not every campus would be open for visitors. And so the NCAA said, let's be fair here. They also may have looked at it as with athletes coming back in the month of June, let's have the coaches there to take care of them instead of the coaches hopscotching the country. And they might not be able to hopscotch the country. But then July is a little bit different. Another thing where the schools probably have a difference of opinion with the NCAA, because it's tough on schools, tough on prospects. Now, the NCAA might also say, hey, we're going to save you some money. We're going to save our institution some money because we've heard how well virtual recruiting has been going. So we're going to save you some money, and we'll keep you close to home for the next 2 months, and then we'll revisit it in August. It's tough for prospects. Boys and girls that wanted to get in front of college coaches in a crucial summertime, regardless of sport, to possibly get a scholarship offer. It shakes things up from if you're a volunteer coach in college or you're, you know, the director of basketball operations. You make a significant portion of your money off camps during the summertime. Those camps are not available. I mean, volunteer baseball coaches, that's where they get a lot of their income. So does that mean they got to go find another job and they're not all of a sudden to be coaching, I mean, with baseball? I keep going, and it's going to be Friday tomorrow, so I get to do this every Friday. I asked Brian Munson in the world of college football, which hasn't missed a beat in recruiting, in virtual recruiting, what do you do with December? Because kids that wanted just, they wanted to make sure they got a spot, they said yes to a school that they've never been to before. And the only way they know that coach is by connecting online. Do they all of a sudden, when things open up and they are allowed, and we don't even know if they would be allowed to go make visits, bringing somebody from the outside into your little bubble, are they all of a sudden going to decommit? So what would it hurt in the case of the recruiting calendar to move back signing periods, go back to the original football one, that first Wednesday in February? If you are enrolling early, it follows like it used to be. We'll do this for 1 year. And then in the other sports that have two signing periods in November and April, why not move it to April? Gives more time for things to settle down, figure things out what you can and can't do. If travel is available, if you can welcome somebody onto your campus, moving out of November and just say in April. Make it fair on everyone, but most importantly, make it fair on the prospect that would like to be in your program, but would like to make the wise choice so we don't sit here 2 years from now and go, oh my God, there's 1,000 players in men's basketball that are in the portal, and there's 1,000 football players that are in the portal, and they're COVID-19 kids. Because when they were quarantined, they picked a school because they had to, because they were up against a deadline. And they didn't get to think it out and find out if they truly were a fit. That would be my suggestion. I don't see the groundswell of that. I'm just saying that I'm going to be probably in the minority in that case. So I kind of understand recruiting deadline, pushing it back. But then there's other things that, okay, what happens when we get to August 1? And if the NCAA says, well, now most of your schools are going to be open, that doesn't fly because we've had recruiting periods where you can leave campus when school has been open. Just saying. All right. Coming up in about an hour, Brett Vosick, former Creighton Prep baseball standout, at KU, thought his career was over. The NCAA says spring sports, you can come back for another year. Okay, I'm going to come back for another year. Brett's had a nice career in Lawrence. But what am I going to do this summertime with no summer league baseball? Well, he's pivoted to plan B. He'll join us. Kendall Rogers coming up as well. Also, straight up at noon. Yesterday, I started this. I know they're going to do it on Sportsmanlike Conduct today, talking about the biggest plays in Nebraska football history for the good and the bad. I have selected 5 different plays that would be considered negative, but if you change the outcome, what would have done to that current program and the current head coach? We'll do that. Coming up at noon. It's the Gary Sharp Show on a Local Music Thursday. There's George. I'm Gary on 1620 The Zone. Hey, local businesses, they are the lifeblood of our community. You may own a local business. You may work at a local business. You know that we support local businesses. We are all in it together. We rely on them. They rely on us, and we stand together. And when you need them, they're there. Places like Jackman Esigs.